It's my pleasure to welcome to the announce booth Dennis Russell Davies, who is the conductor of the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra and was the co-founder of the Juilliard Ensemble with Luciano Berio. Dennis conducted the world premiere of Berio's piece Opera at Santa Fe, New Mexico, and is well known in Eastern music circles for his performances on Philips Records and CRI. Dennis, you'll be the conductor of the 1974 Cabrillo Music Festival, and I wonder, you have a remarkable history of doing premieres of people's works. I wonder if you plan to have some premieres for the 74 festival.
Yeah, very definitely. At this point, I don't know just what yet and who, but I think it's an important part of any festival to try to do some important premieres, especially. For one thing, it gets attention of the press, and also it's interesting. As a festival, we should do that. So that I think that'll be very definitely a part of, although I think sometimes the premiere aspect of things is overplayed. I think sometimes maybe second performances of pieces are many times more important than the first performance, which...
I'm interested to know also if you'll be bringing soloists out to the festival. Usually they do this.
Yeah.
Do you have any definite plans? Or
at the moment, absolutely not.
This is your first night here.
This is my first night. I've come to see the festival and hear the players and just sort of get my bearings. I have some preliminary ideas, but I'm not really ready to sort of speculate publicly what I'm going to do yet. But I very definitely would like to bring some soloists. This lady tonight was terrific, by the way, the pianist.
Fine pianist.
She's really very good. And I think that it's important to bring soloists, but also I think it's important to use the orchestral musicians whenever, you know, the caliber and the quality is there, which there seems to be. So I'd like to do some of both.
Do you have any particular attitude toward involving Bay Area composers in the festival? Or?
I think it's a very good idea. It can be done too much. I don't know. The only actual other activity I've had in the Bay Area was when I did Rigoletto with the Spring Opera Theater. So I haven't only been here a month, and I'm not really too in on the scene yet. So I'd like to try to know some more of the composers. But I think very definitely it's helpful, especially if they can be here, their presence. As I think it's part of a service that we should add. But also I think it'd be very nice for people on the West Coast to hear some music from the East Coast and vice versa. I'm looking while I'm out here for scores to take back East, because I think that's also something, as you say, there's a large lack of communication between the two areas.
It's funny, but a lot of the Eastern music gets here very quickly by means of recordings, whereas I think West Coast music does not get back there. And at KPFA especially, which is related to WBAI in New York, it's a station that's listener-sponsored, and we play a lot of avant-garde music and so forth. We get Eastern music very quickly.
Right.
In fact, right after pieces are premiered.
Uh-huh.
So I think one of the major obligations of the festival is to highlight some Bay Area music as well. But it will be nice to hear some East Coast pieces, and maybe European and Asian.
That, I think, too,
so
is important, to try to get some important premieres of some European composers.
I think that would be a lot of fun,
And if we can get an American premiere or two out of some of the biggies, it'll just add, I think, to the publicity value as far as the festival is concerned.
Do you have any impression at this point of how much avant-garde music you can do in relationship? I know you've conducted a lot of older music as well.
Yeah. What I have in mind to do is, I'm not very much in favor of all contemporary concerts, and I'm not very much in favor of all Baroque concerts or all Impressionist concerts. So I like to do contemporary music in the context of an overall program. What we are looking to do is to make the festival really festive in nature.
Maybe we can, since you are new to the festival, you really don't have plans set up, maybe we could talk a little bit about your accomplishments, because they are fairly impressive. You have premiered works by such people as Berio and Feldman and others. Could you talk briefly about those people and what you've done with them?
I started working with Berio actually when I first started conducting. I was involved with several premieres of works of his. Opera was, I guess, the most important work of his that I premiered. I also did, you know, a couple of the smaller chamber pieces. But sort of my attitudes toward contemporary music were very much formed by that influence. You know, I sort of rebelled against it and acted positively through it, so that I sort of moved out from that point. But it was a very big stepping stone, and I got a chance to do a lot of conducting that I otherwise probably wouldn't have done. But I've been involved with, you know, different schools of composition. I've done some premieres of works by Cage and Hall Overton, who was an American boy who passed away. Yeah, I was very close to Hall. I did the premiere of Huck Finn, which is the big opera he wrote a couple years ago, which is really quite a terrific piece. It needed to be, he needed to fix it. He didn't get around to it. So sometime I'm going to take that task on.
That would be good.
When I have some time, because there's some really wonderful music. Stage-wise, the piece doesn't hold up. It's got to be edited and sort of tied together.
Those things are things sometimes you can't tell until a performance comes.
That's
out.
Right. And he only lived another year after he wrote the piece. He did write another really terrific piece, which I recorded last year for CRI, called Pulsations. And but he's really a phenomenal. I'd like sometime to do some of his music out here.
What other groups of new music have you been involved
in? As far as the European composers, I've been involved with Henze. I did a premiere of a piece of his last year. And Bruno Maderna, mm-hmm. and Henri Pousser, and Berio.
How about the sort of static, as Virgil Thompson calls it, wallpaper music effect? I mean, are you for or opposed to that sort of thing?
I don't really sort of take sides. I try to, you know, if a piece is good and sound, you know, has a sound and a sort of a feeling, I like to do it. But I don't know. I'm becoming increasingly involved in the problem that composers are having communicating to what has to be regarded as a diminishing audience, and especially in terms of contemporary music concerts per se are concerned. I think there's a certain problem there that has to really be dealt with. I'm not quite sure what the direction is to go in. I have a series at Tully Hall that runs called New and Newer Music, and we do 20th century music, sort of, you know, 60 years worth. But even there, you're dealing with a very specialized audience, and you know, it's a problem.
How about Steve Reich, Terry Riley, that type of composing?
I have to say I'm not overly sympathetic to that kind of. I've played in C and I've done some of those kinds of things, and I like that. But the problem is, I think that those pieces are more interesting for the players than they are for the listener.
Would you say that in the case of Steve Reich?
Many times, yeah. I think it's very interesting. It's very exhilarating and liberating, if you want, as a musician, to be involved in playing some of these things where your individual creativity comes into being, but there's a point where the audience is not really so as interested as you might be. I think that's one of the things Moderna got into very much, and Earl Brown, you know, the idea of sort of the experimentation and improvisation and the ideas a musician could bring to bear. And they've tried to address that particular problem too, because many times the piece becomes so unstructured that it's impossible to sort of tell where you are in it. And
could we contrast the Reich Riley type of music with, say, another type that you would judge as more involving toward an audience? Would you say Berio or?
Well, Berio has that ability. I mean,
I just heard his recital one, which is a marvelous.
He's a great
recording.
Man. You know,
yeah.
He's had the of course the Sinfonia is one of your hit tunes, I suppose,
right,
in the 20th century. But he's written some really phenomenal music, and the important thing is he's kept going even the last 5 or 6 years. He had a few bombs. Opera was a really controversial. I happen to think it's a great piece. Stage-wise, it's a real problem, and he made a tremendous mistake by having it based on a theater group. The open theater is essential to the piece. The theater group doesn't even exist anymore, and it's as theater rather questionable. But it was a really a terrific event, and almost everything he's done is, you know, has a sort of feeling of greatness about it. I think in 20, 30 years, people are going to look back, and that's going to be one of the main people.
You were born in Toledo in 1944.
Yeah.
What brought you from Toledo to Aptos, California?
Well, I was a pianist. I studied piano. I was very fortunate there. There was a lady named Bernice McNabb, who was a really fine pianist and teacher, and took me on at a very young age, and sent me away when it was time to go places. You know, she didn't cling or anything like that. You know, I had some very good experiences in the summer and things like that. And then I went to Juilliard as a pianist, and I started playing some contemporary music on the keyboard, and one thing led to another. I became interested in conducting, and met Berio, and I studied with Jean Morel,
mm-hmm.
who had also done a lot of premieres of, you know, European contemporary music back in the 30s. He played the first performance of L'Histoire de Soldat. He was a percussionist and that kind of thing. So that, you know, I had excellent training, and then I began to, you know, to do some conducting around the chamber orchestra. The St. Paul Chamber Orchestra is my primary occupation right
is
now.
Is it true that that's the only chamber orchestra that operates year-round?
Yeah, we call it, the definition that they use is the only resident professional chamber orchestra. That sort of covers it. So we have a 44-week season.
And 44 weeks.
It's really nice. You know, the musicians are good, and it's an interesting job, and we do a lot of really good music.
Well, I hope you get August off so we can see you next
August,
year.
Yeah, that will work out.
Thank you very much. We've been talking with Dennis Russell Davies, who will be the conductor and music director of the 1974 Cabrillo Music Festival.